Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Pats people and Foxborough friends, as we bring you this latest Six Rings in Football things, you are just 1 month away from the start of training camp 2025. And your savior, your QB1, Drake May, is fresh off his nuptials in Central North Carolina. We wish him well. Therefore, what we're going to do today on the pod is give him a little break. He's on his honeymoon. But we need to start burrowing into the other people that are going to help on both sides of the ball and help your New England Patriots live up to their very lofty expectations on the 2025 season. So it's your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and live from the Lions Den on the South Shore, Johnny Lyons with the 5 New England Patriots that we are most excited about at training camp 2025, not named Drake May. Here we go.
Hey, whatever it takes, man. It's all about winning, all right? Winning on 3. 1, 2, 3, win!
Celebrating the heroes of Foxborough's past.
And with a good block. Look at Roman. Touchdown. Watch the block of number 73, John Hanna.
The champions of the dynastic era.
And a Vinatieri booms a 48-yard field goal. And the Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
The Patriots of tomorrow.
We're going to remove entitlement from our football team. We're going to earn the right to be here every single day.
And the fans whose faith never wavers.
Let's go!
This is Six Rings and Football Things.
What's up, everybody? Fitzy and Lyons here with the latest Six Rings and Football Things. It is 100 degrees outside right now. Everybody is just flat out crazy from the heat. I also apologize for any technical difficulties during today's podcast as well, because my laptop literally got cooked in this early summer heat. So we rigged together a little mobile edition of Six Rings and Football Things. But that's just because this is too important to us. We can't just say, oh, we'll take some days off. It's okay. Camp's 4 weeks away. The season doesn't kick off for almost 3 months. No. We cannot wait for July 23rd, 2025. I, John Lyons, I can only imagine for yourself as well. Your Patriots pants tent is borderline unmanageable for the first preseason game. And that's because, as we learned from our friends only in Boston, it is to be a 12-foot bronze statue of Tom Brady that will be revealed during preseason game one, the only home preseason game for your New England Patriots this year. And it's against the Washington Commanders. I think I'm not sure if you had taken any guesses or shared any images as to what you thought the statue would look like. But it being 12 feet tall for number 12, 2 times 6, of course, obviously, that feels appropriate, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And my hope is it's that kind of iconic image after Super Bowl 36 when he has both of his hands on top of his head, kind of partly in disbelief, but partly in celebration that they just won their first Super Bowl. That would be my number one choice. But as you know, Fitzy, there's a lot of great options for that statue. I mean, you could do something from the early dynasty days. You could do something from the later dynasty days. I mean, there's a lot of different images, iconic images that you can use. So I'm excited to see what they're going to unveil.
My personal favorite, I may have mentioned it here previously on Six Rings, is that image years ago of Brady during a colder winter game wearing one of those coffin coats, and he's mid-rise from sitting on the bench, and the coffin coat falls off, and thereby it looks like a cape, and it's just so GD, heroic, and magnificent. If it were something like that, I mean, that's just like the perfect Superman and Metropolis statue to me. I've always said it needs to be like 5 times the size of the stadium. If it were as tall as Christ the Redeemer, but it was just a Brady with arms wide open, I'd be fine with it. But anyway, so that is one of the many dates. We will get to a podcast later this summer. Lyons and I will do the dates we are most excited about on the calendar coming up as well. But right now, we want to get into the people that have they have basically a month to get prepared. Now, I think it'll probably be 2-3 weeks of vacation. And as the calendar usually goes, John, people start showing up early. They're getting their vacations and their family plans in now, doing their back to school shopping. Hell, you can do your Halloween candy shopping because that stuff's going to be on the shelves in 2 weeks. And then come mid-July, they start matriculating their way towards Foxborough, getting set, new homes, whatever. Some renting, some buying, depending on their security on the team. And then we get after it. And there are obviously a lot of pivotal figures this year, John, on the Patriots as far as this defense living up to its hype and the expensive pedigree from the offseason and the draft. And then the offense actually developing an identity under now three-time offensive coordinator Drake May and Josh McDaniels and second-year quarterback Drake May. So these are our five most important Patriots not named Drake May heading into camp this year. John, why don't you hit me with your first? So take us behind your thinking as well as you put together your list.
So for me, and I'm just going to start with the top of the list, the number, and I would say Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels are near the top of that list, but we're just going to stick to players here. And for me, number one is going to be Will Campbell, right? Because the last time the Patriots had good left tackle play, we're talking 7 years ago, Fitzy, in 2018. It's been a problem for them. Even 2021, when they went to the playoffs, it was still inconsistent. This has been a problem for them for years, and they finally invested a high-level asset in that position, whether it be money or, in this case, the fourth overall draft pick. Now, Will Campbell doesn't come without some arm-length questions, as I think we talked about approximately 6,000 times during draft season. But I think he's going to be a good left tackle, but I think that is the biggest question that the Patriots have. Is he going to be a good left tackle? And beyond just can he be a good left tackle in itself, he's also a rookie, right? Protecting Drake May's blind side. So to me, he's the number one most important piece, because if he's good, then all of a sudden you can look at it and say, okay, we have our two tackle spots solidified. Right guard is solidified with Mike Onwenu. Bradbury, who I'm going to talk about later, I think there's some questions there, but at least you know who it is. So you only really have to figure out left guard. But if Will Campbell is not ready, or let's say he's a guard, then we're talking about what, year eight, where you have a major question mark at left tackle. And let's think about this team as well, right? They're going to want to run the ball a ton. Yes, they're going to do play action. Yes, they're going to push the ball. Yes, they're going to throw. But they are going to want to run the ball. They drafted Travion Henderson the top of the second round for a reason. They paired him with Ramondre Stevenson. So he's a good run blocker, and they're going to need that. So to me, you put together the run blocking, the Drake May blindside, also the fact that that position has been a major problem for years. I think Will Campbell, to me, Fitzy, far and away the most important guy I'm watching in training camp.
While it may not be for the sexiest embrace of debate or argumentative podcasting, I agree 1,110,000,000%. So goes Will Campbell. So goes so much on this offense that does not have to do with Drake May's understanding, processing, and execution of this McDaniels 3.0 Patriots offense. If Will Campbell is a disaster, then yes, we will be in year 7 of the post-Trent Brown 2018 search for a left tackle as we made our way through the Isaiah Wynns and the Marshall Newhouses and the Chuck Okorafors and the Yadni, Vidarian Lowe. It's been a disaster. It has been a who's who of mid-level UFL level replacement tackles. And they invested so much equity in somebody that unfortunately comes with question marks. I mean, look, he's got the short arms, but he's got the great pedigree. He's got a winning attitude, but he's got narrow shoulders. Listen, Johnny, I'm a member of the Narrow Shoulder Club. I subscribe to Narrow Shoulder Monthly. I get it. Like, he does not look like he has – I couldn't block anyone on Twitter, let alone somebody in the freaking trenches in the NFL. When you look at him, you know he's got the attitude. You know he's got the want and the will. And he, like I said, he's got a great resume playing in what people like to sometimes still say, although the NIL world has kind of blown this paradigm up, the Southern NFL of college football down at LSU. If he can be a serviceable left tackle in the passing game – and a plus level blocking left tackle in the run game, which I agree they're going to lean on heavily, and they should, while you have Ramondre Stevenson and Travion Henderson and Antonio Gibson, three different backs, three different skill sets, but all definitely rosterable, fantasy worthy, people that can contribute significantly as well. And we'll get to one of those running backs later on my list of the five. But if Will Campbell can block by Drake May the extra second or second and a half, which will feel like a GD luxury to him this year compared to what he was dealing with last year, as it was just an absolute Black Friday jailbreak every time he said hike, no matter whether he was under center or in shotgun, that'll be spectacular. If that blindside is taken care of and the jersey is clean, we're good. If not, and he's kicking into guard halfway through his rookie season, then here come the questions about why Wolf and Vrabel had to take him and why Vrabel is such a hardo and, you know, oh, fell in love when they did the pad drills before the draft last year. And a lot of us armchair GMs are going to look right. Here is a case, John, where I want to be wrong. I literally want to be wrong. I want to live back on unpopular take island where I said I wasn't sure if Will Campbell was worthy of the fourth overall pick. I want him to work out, and my eyes might be on him before anything else sexy on the field. So Wonder Twin powers activate. We big agree on that one.
Yeah, and I think, again, it's you look at the need they have and what they invested in them, right? The fourth overall pick is the fourth overall pick. And look, worst-case scenario, Fitzy, let's say he has to move into guard and he's a really good guard. That is a valuable thing to have, but it's not really worth the fourth overall pick, especially—
But who's playing left tackle? Yasir Durant, who they just picked up for the second time?
Right. So, or the ghost of Adarian Lowe, right? Like, who's
playing
left
tackle? Please. And I don't want to send Morgan Moses from the right side to the left side. The guy's doing everything right in the position he's most comfortable in. He is quickly becoming one of these new leaders of the emerging Vrabel era of Patriots football. I want him to be where he's most comfortable. Side note, by the way, I have heard from some pretty good, well-placed sources, people that have been to the practices that have conducted some interviews. As they said in Airplane regarding Mike Onwenu, and Leon's getting larger. Hopefully somebody hits the bike or maybe does a low.
That was a problem last year too.
It's a problem. I've heard it's a problem again.
And one last thing on the Will Campbell point is this is the first draft where Elliot Wolf's, you know, vaunted scouting system was in full effect, right? Because Belichick gets fired in January of 24. It was only half a year. Robert Kraft even talked about that when Gerard Mayo got fired, that he believed in Wolf's scouting system. So if the first guy you take can't play the position you took him for, it's not going to make me feel great about the scouting system. But then on the reverse of that, if he's good, then it's going to make you feel better about that scouting system. Same thing if Henderson's good, if Kyle Williams is good, Jared Wilson, right? So that's just, and again, that's not something that I'm going to worry about per se in August, but that's something that, you know, when we look to maybe the end of the season, next offseason, we're going to look back and say, hey, did this scouting system that the Crafts believe strongly in, was it really worth it? And I think this draft is going to give us a lot of answers. And again, not immediately, but I think we'll get a lot of answers on if that system is really what they crack it up to be.
Oh, it smokes. I mean, Johnny, like, I hate to say it, but there are still, again, this is not a Drake May podcast. He's on his honeymoon right now with his lovely Anne Michael May, who he's a good 2 feet taller than. Looks like they had a great time. Rest up. God bless. And that was well done on their behalf. Get that done before camp. So he's got all of his personals set aside and everything's tidied up so he can get there and focus on this massively important season. That being said, there are still a couple of questions about Drake May. And if questions linger about Drake May, then you get into the blown receiver picks from last year. And Laydon Robinson could be a reserve. He could be a starter. He might be a reserve at best. And you call into question everything from last year's draft and maybe bleeding into this year's as well, like you said, with Will Campbell. So, we're going to need to go ahead and make sure that he's a success in this first year, Johnny. All right, who you got for number two?
So for number two, for me, another guy they invested a lot in, Milton Williams at defensive tackle. Now, biggest contract in team history, and I'm really interested in him for two reasons, right? Now, everyone knows how great of a pass rusher he is. 5 sacks last year. He was PFF's number one graded pass rushing defensive tackle. Next Gen Stats had him at number two, right? This guy was a monster rushing the passer. So we know he can do that, Fitzy, and we know he can do it at a high level. And the thought of him on the inside next to Christian Barmore with Keon White next to one of them on the outside, I think will be a really elite potential combo rushing the passer.
Enticing, for sure, yeah.
For sure. What I want to see, though, is two other pieces of this. One, Last year, he played less than 50% of the snaps for the Eagles. If you're going to be a starting defensive tackle with the biggest contract in team history, you're going to have to play 70 to 75% of the snaps, at least 65%. But I'm looking at 70% of the snaps. Can he get to that threshold without wearing down over a 17-game season? Remember, in Philadelphia, as great as Milton Williams was, I mean, Jalen Carter looks like he's on the track to be in the Hall of Fame, and I'm not trying to overrate a guy in his second year. He looks...
No, he might be one of those guys looking at the quarter-century team saying, give me 3 years, and I'll make you revisit line selections.
I think Jordan Davis is a good player. They have good defense. Josh Sweat was terrific for them. So point being, he was in amongst probably the best defensive front in the entire NFL. So he's not going to be, again, I think the Patriots defensive front will be good. It's not going to be Eagles good. He's going to have to play more snaps. And the other thing, Fitzy, Patriots last year, number 23 in the league in run defense. They gave up 4.4 yards per carry, which was middle of the pack. They need to get better in their run defense, and he's going to have to be part of it, right? It's not going to be like the Eagles where they can play him on some rushing downs, but primarily to rush the passer. He's going to have to be able to do both here with the Patriots. So I would like to see that is something, you know, can he be good against run? He doesn't have to be as good against the run as he is against the pass. He doesn't have to be elite at it, but can he be good enough against the run, and can he play a higher volume of snaps? Because they invested a ton of money in him. He's got a ton of talent. I think he's already shown he's an elite pass rusher. It's just, can he do those other things? And I think we're going to start to see that as training camp unfolds.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Bolts.
Yeah, they sunk a whole lot of money in him. And I even remember back when we thought we lost him to Carolina, and the Pats re-entered the chat and said, okay, fine, we'll give you even more money than we initially offered and Carolina did. Poached him from the Panthers, which I think sets up a nice little rivalry between them when they play in week 4 of this season. But that being said, I agree. I'm just supremely confident in this kid. I've everything he says. Vrabel already knows he's going to be one of the leaders. He's got personality to spare. Yeah, that's nice, Fitz. But how about the production on the field where it matters? Yes, he's going to have to up his percentage of plays from 50 to possibly 75, 80% at most. Will he be fit? Will he be in shape to do that? All signs point to yes thus far. The coaches are raving about him. I'm sure Terrell Williams, when healthy, back commanding the Patriots defense, is going to just have a field day with him, Keon White, Harold Landry, and Christian Barmore and beyond as well. I think he's going to be just fine. Last year, he was almost virtually unblockable in one-on-ones and was even beating double teams in Super Bowl 59 as well. So I have all the confidence in the world that Milton Williams is going to come up big. I actually have a defensive tackle as my number two, and that's Christian Barmore, because I need to see that he is healthy once again. If he's healthy and he's past this blood clot issue and all signs have been pointing towards his needle is just going up and up. He is trending in the right direction from every report, from everything you read, see, hear, and more. If he's healthy and he can return to that late autumn, early winter 2023 form, like on Christmas Eve 2023, when he absolutely just dominated the Denver Broncos all by himself, and that was with a craptastic line around him and very little talent to account for. There was no Matthew Judon at the time. Keon White wasn't really a presence or a force. You had like the Daniel Aquales and the Devon Dodge shows of the world.
Last win as head coach. I mean, that was the team that only won 4 games.
That's an insane stat. That was the last win, and Barmore basically got
in
it for
Denver, too, in all places.
In Denver, and Chad Ryland and Christian Barmore, and thus that landed us Drake May. Anyway, if Barmore is healthy, now that he's going to have Keon White motivated, ready to go, because he says he finally has a coach. And Harold Landry there, maybe a little overpaid, but certainly seems like he's got a motor and some motivation as well. And next to your boy, Milton Williams, I think Barmore has a chance to absolutely return to dominant form this year. So if he does, watch out. This defense may live up to all of these vaunted, lofty top 10 in the league expectations.
Yeah, and we've both mentioned Keon White. I don't have him on my list, but he was kind of one of those guys that I came right down to the end considering, because he's another one Milton Williams and Barmore there. I think Keon White could sneaky have a really great season this year rushing the passer. They've moved him around in the past, kicked him inside, had him go outside. 6'5", 285, but he moves quickly. Like, he's a guy that I think – I'm not sitting here – I'm not saying he's going to have 15 sacks, but could he have 10 sacks? Could he, you know, have 11 sacks? Could he be a legit force on the outside? I think he's a guy that we're going to look at and say – oh, wow, maybe he's better than we thought he was, and we just didn't see it.
Or actually, he's as good as we thought he could be. It's just that last year he regressed because the defense was so injured and nobody knew what they were doing. Plus, now you may have legitimate rotational depth at defensive end with Kevon Chasen, who they signed as a free agent, and Braden Swinson, who Landry, people are also, and Landry, they're raving about Swinson, could be how many, by the way, side note, how many different steals of the draft are the Patriots going to have? I've heard it's going to be Jared Wilson, the center from Georgia, who may also play guard. I heard it may be Braden Swinson. I heard it might be Travion Henderson. Like, let's just let these guys actually make the team and then make a positive impact this year before we call them all like the steal of the draft. That said, I think Swinson could be the steal of the draft. All right, who you got for three, kiddo?
So for me, it's Garrett Bradbury at center because David Andrews is not here anymore. And that you lose a lot of leadership and you lose a good player there. And you lose someone that I know has had some injuries in recent years, but at least had a rapport with Drake May. And Bradbury has some questions to answer. I mean, Minnesota, a team that won 14 games last year, was a legit Super Bowl contender. Very okay with letting him go, right? They didn't really aggressively pursue him to keep him around. His PFF grade last year was 33rd among centers. I know that's not the be-all, end-all, but I think it just speaks to he was an average to below-average player at times. You have Jared Wilson there as a draft pick, but I think Jared Wilson really only one full year starting, albeit in the SEC. I'd like him to have at least half a year, if not a full year, to develop. I think he could be your center of the future. But in the meantime, you need Bradbury to stabilize the center of that offensive line because you know who your right tackle is in Moses. You know who your right guard is in Onwenu. Left tackle, you have a rookie who I think will be good, but it's still a rookie. And left guard, you don't know who it's going to be. So you need some stability at center right in front of Drake May. So Bradbury, to me, I know that signing kind of flew under the radar, but this, if he's not good, Fitzy, Jared Wilson is probably going to be a rookie starting at center and you'll have a rookie left tackle. If he is good, though, it gives you a lot more stability. Even if he's average, it just gives you a lot more stability up the middle and up front overall.
Another sign that the Patriots are going to be a run-centric team this year, in addition to Josh always slow-playing his development of a quarterback that he's working with for the first time, Drake May, glorified rookie in some ways. He only started two-thirds of his rookie season as well. And now he's got a playbook that went from this to yay big with McDaniels as well, is that you have questions about Will Campbell. You don't know who your left guard is because there's going to be a ferocious competition in camp over there about that. And you've got questions about your center as well and Garrett Bradbury, as you mentioned. Last year, I think he was 42nd overall of all centers. By the way, there should only be 32 starting centers. He was in the 40s in terms of pass blocking, much better at run blocking. So therefore, you got to think, okay, Will Campbell's probably going to be a better run blocker. Left guard is definitely there for run blocking. Garrett Bradbury's better at run blocking. Morgan Moses is a house on wheels. And Mike Onwenu is the rest of the neighborhood. So let's think about the fact that, like, running to allow Drake some time, running to give Drake an expanded access to process and understand Josh's offense. And the fact that your running back room right now, Johnny, looks way better than your receiver room. I'm telling you, they are going to be a running team in 2025, and that'll play into Garrett Bradbury's skill set. I think he's a one and done. It's a 1 year. He'll be a transitional Ryan Wendell-like center going from the great David Andrews, who's now getting into media. We wish him all the best, to Jared Wilson by next year. For me, those are the questions about him, but I understand the importance of him. I would probably have him somewhere in 6 to 10. For me, number three is clear cut, just like the pink goodies that he served to a couple of friends and partygoers on a boat a couple of weeks back. It's Steph Diggs. There are so many questions. I don't think you could watch both seasons of Severance and leave with more questions than you have regarding the Patriots wide receiver room. It's nuts. You don't know who's going to make the roster right now. Like, I can't tell, like, Okay, maybe Pop Douglas. I can't say that he's 100% going to make it. Matt Collins should make the roster as well. Kayshon Boutte might get traded. Polkin Baker could be cast off some cuts. Steph Diggs needs to come in. All the rehab looks great. He may soon pass a test that says, you're good to go, bro. And I'm not saying that he's going to be like Adrian Peterson, who tore his ACL in January, came back in September, and ran for over 2,000 yards the next season. He could put up Stephon Diggs-like numbers like he did in Buffalo or even Houston last year, which would be massive. I need no on-field or off-field distractions. I need more of the leadership he was displaying, working with Jalen Polk, Efton Chisholm III, living legend and future Patriots Hall of Famer. I need him. He and Pop Douglas apparently have a chemistry and a vibe going as well. I need that on-field leadership. I need no off-field questions. And then I need him to look like Steph Diggs again, because just like a strong running game is going to help old Drakeo, Drake 10, so will knowing, okay, well, F it. Steph Diggs got to be out there someplace. Like, if he can get open 8 to 10, fight and compete for the ball, get away from press coverage like he's been so good at all for all these years, and do what he did for Josh Allen and a little bit what he did for C.J. Stroud, then I think that is a huge relief and a massive weight off the shoulders of Drake, Josh, and the rest of the offense. So for me, Steph Diggs, number three.
Yeah, and it's a good one, because Steph Diggs is a guy that half a season of him last year would have still been the best receiver on the Patriots, right? And you can look at...
Isn't that nuts? That's the left tackle and receiver have sucked out loud for so long for the Patriots. It's mind-numbing to think that they've actually been able to win games at all over the last couple seasons.
Yeah, I mean, and this is a guy that, you know, at the time he got hurt, had just under 500 yards, right? Was on his way to potentially another 1,000-yard season. His yards per route run would have been the best of any Patriots receiver last year. Again, this is only half a season, like we're saying. 31 catches for first down would have been the second most of a Patriots receiver last year, tied for second. Like, so this is a guy that's going to come in basically better than everyone else in the room, just on raw talent and what he's done. Now, it's, can he come back from the injury? Can he put it together? This is also a guy, he averages 64 yards per game in the playoffs. So if they do find a way to make the playoffs, or at least fight for a playoff spot, he's shown he can be pretty good in those high leverage situations. So again, I think there's a lot of questions at Diggs. I think that's a good pick for number three by you, because again, it's a guy that if he's good, it kind of changes our conversation a little bit about what their offense is.
All right, coming in from the Lions Den, most important Patriot not named Drake May, number four.
To me, it's Carlton Davis, another guy they spent a lot of money on defensively and in free agency. He's got good length. I think he can press guys really well at corner. Two interceptions last year. Also, Detroit played the most man coverage in the NFL last year.
That's right.
We know that, you know, under Bill Belichick, the Patriots defense would be very, you know, they would mix it up a lot. They'd play zone, they'd play man. But when they had the athletes, you could tell they always preferred to play man, whether that was with Ty Law, with Revis, with Tlaib, with Gilmore. They always preferred to play man if they could. And I think with Gonzalez and Davis, I miss all those guys I just mentioned, right? I think Mike Vrabel, although it's not going to be the exact same defense with him and Terrell Williams, I think that's something, a philosophy they're going to stick to, right? They're going to be guys that want to play a bunch of man coverage. I think you have an all-pro level corner in Christian Gonzalez on one side, but you've been kind of struggling to find that number two. Again, Jonathan Jones, my favorite Patriot of the last 5 years, a elite slot corner, really good number two outside corner, but I think Davis can be better than him on the outside. And if those guys are good, all of a sudden this defense, remember Terrell Williams said he wants violent attacking players. Well, you can't do that if your corners aren't good, because then you got to play a bunch of soft zone and be careful. If your corners are good, if Davis is good opposite Gonzalez, it allows you to do a bunch of different things defensively. It makes you much, much harder to beat, not just vertically, but all over the field. So to me, I'm really excited about the Carlton Davis signing and what he can do with man coverage. I want to see him opposite Christian Gonzalez. I'm really interested to see that.
Yeah. You know, the slot corner spot could also be a big question mark as well. Will Alex Austin get, where is he going to get reps outside, inside as well?
Sorry to cut you off, Fitzy, but I think one important thing to remember, and this is something I'm watching Mike Vrabel for, Where does he fall on the philosophical debate of, do you like three corners or do you like three safeties? Because at safety, you have Duggar, you have Peppers, and now Craig Woodson. At corner, you have Davis, you have Gonzalez, and then Marcus Jones, Alex Austin. I think I, in a weird way, the positional battle, it's not going to be a true position battle, but it's going to, who do they like better? Their third safety in Craig Woodson or their third corner in Marcus Jones? And that's going to dictate, I think, what kind of defensive packages that they use. So you're right. That slot corner area, like that to me is the battle, one of the battles to watch in training camp.
Yeah. You've also got Del Pettis and Marcus Epps coming in from Las Vegas to enter into the safety equation as well. Now you, Marte Mapu is being listed as a linebacker. So he's going to be a fascinating character to watch. We'll see if he even makes the team or can find some comfort with his hyper freakish athletic ability or so move the sticks Daniel Jeremiah gushed over a couple of drafts ago. I get it on the Carlton Davis. 100% agree. I'm actually pretty confident that the guy's going to be good because I've seen the book on him from Tampa all the way through Detroit. Great in man coverage, great hands, like you said, great length, great stride, great size. I'm comfortable that he's going to be like one of the best, if not maybe the best number two corner on any team. Like, this is setting up to be an absolutely dynamic duo between Gonzo and Carlton Davis. And so it actually is, you've done it for several seasons. Now I need to see the guy on the other side who you're talking about possibly being an all-pro, elevating his game to a legitimate NFL superstar. I went Gonzo number four. Last year, as Devin McCourty told us here on the Six Rings podcast a year ago, was a glorified rookie season for Christian Gonzalez. Don't forget, when everyone went gaga over him, he played 3.5 games in 2023. That's it. That's the tweet. So last year, he ended up playing, I think, 16 games. He sat out week 18. That was a fun one when the Patriots found a way not to lose to Buffalo. But anyway.
Chestnut checkers.
Just not checkers, kid.
Chutes and ladders, not chess.
Honest to God, why Jeremy Springer wasn't coaching that game if you knew you were going to ditch Mayo? I have no idea. Anyway, but I need to see another full healthy season from Gonzo. I want to see that he can handle one-on-one every week, getting the best wide receivers in the NFL. You know Tyreek Hill respects him. You know Steph Diggs talked about him when he was in Houston as well. Now iron is going to sharpen iron. He'll have Diggs and all these guys desperately vying for a job, giving him their best each and every week as well. He looks like he can live up to it. So many people said at OTAs and minicamp, like, guys, some other people were impressive and this guy and that guy did some important things, but let's be completely honest. The best player on the field, hands down by far, was Christian Gonzalez. I want to see him continue to live up to the lofty expectations, keep this dynamic superstar lockdown cornerback one trajectory going. If he can continue to do that, just think about not only how fearful the opposing offensive coordinators and QBs will be throwing at Carlton Davis, like, oh, now he's free to roam because Gonzo's locked up number one and the safeties are pretty good as well. Think about how this is going to let your boy Milton Williams and my guy Christian Barmore thrive and feed because quarterbacks are like, I can't, there's no one to throw to. Oh, shit, I got a face full of 93 and 97. And, like, again, this is why this Pats defense may start feeding and may start being a legitimate problem and a force to be reckoned with this year. So I want to see Gonzo live up to the hype. I go Gonzo, you go Carlton Davis. I like it.
I think having two great cover corners like that allows you to do so many different things. You look at some of the teams you're going to play.
Many, many beautiful things.
Right? You're going to play Miami with those two dynamic receivers twice. The Jets have Garrett Wilson. The Steelers have DK Metcalf. Like, you're going to play some really good receiver cores this year, and you're going to have to be able to hold up on the outside.
Yeah. All right, let's finish it out. John Lyons list of the five most important Patriots not named Drake May finishes with player number five, and that is
Hunter Henry. To me, he's a captain. He has a good rapport already with Drake May. But I also look at this offense in general. There's a lot of new faces, right? We talked about Will Campbell. We talked about Garrett Bradbury. We talked about Morgan Moses. But Travion Henderson's new. Kyle Williams is new. Jalen Polk and Javon Baker have been here, but they were essentially non-existent last year in the offense, and it's a new offense for them. Stephon Diggs is a new face. Hunter Henry's the one guy that's been here multiple years in that passing game, because DeMario Douglas, too, I should mention. But sure. Hunter Henry, to me, is a guy that has been here, been in New England, been working with Drake May for a couple of years. And in 2021 with Josh McDaniels, he had 50 catches, 603 yards, and 9 touchdowns. I mean, imagine if they could get 9 touchdowns out of their tight ends this year. We know McDaniels loves the tight end in his offense. And the old adage, right, a tight end is huge for a rookie quarter, a rookie or young quarterback. I think that'll continue. So to me, I know Diggs is the offseason headline. I get it. I know they drafted Travion Henderson and Kyle Williams, who we're all excited about. But they need a good year out of Hunter Henry. He's getting a little bit older now. It's his, what, fourth different offensive coordinator since he's been in New England, thankfully, second time with McDaniels. But it's something that they need a good year out of him with May. And I think if they get that, it'll be a huge help to their offense. If they don't, they'll have a problem because tight end depth, look, I know Austin Hooper made a couple nice plays.
It ain't great. As Alex Cora says, it's not great.
Jaheim Bell has one career catch, right? Like, so it's, they don't have a lot of depth there either. So they need Hunter Henry. And again, I think I mentioned the captain part. I think the leadership matters. You got a lot of new faces. You have a new head coach. I think you have a team that's won 4 games back-to-back years. I think that leadership factor is also important here as well.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yeah, I believe there to be a legitimate, solid, established chemistry already between Hunter Henry and Drake May. The only other Patriot thus far via social media that I saw at Drake May's wedding was Hunter Henry, looking splendid. Nice little Oxford, some khakis, cocktail in hand alongside Mrs. Henry, looking good, feeling good. I think he is poised for probably his best season to date. I'll go right out on a limb and say, I agree with you. He's one of the most important players at camp, not named Drake May. I think Hunter Henry, if healthy this year, back under McDaniels, who he had such success with alongside Michael McCorkle, Mac Jones, back in 2021, I think he is poised for his best season to date, so long as he's able to play all 17 games. So, yes, hugely important. But, again, another veteran I trust, somebody who has implicitly earned trust with the quarterback, with the coordinator, with the head coach, with me, with many fans as well. So I have a level of expectation with Hunter Henry. Yeah, get out there. Catch 60 balls. Have 732 yards, catch 7 touchdowns, ball out, be a constant, be a positive force, and like you said, a captain and a locker room leader. I am in on all of that. However, for me, in terms of the offense and being able to unlock things, get it to the next level, establish some comfort, I thought about a lot of these guys, honestly. Like, I thought about Kyle Williams, who I call the timeline king, because every time I open up a social media platform, there's something positive about him on the timeline. And all signs point to his elite release package and being a legitimate downfield threat and a positive rookie influence on the team. I thought about Robert Spillane on defense because I'm going to call him either like the janitor, the service guy, whatever, because he's just going to clean stuff up. That's what he does. I saw that interview he did with Ted Johnson on the afternoon show from Mandatory minicamp as well. This guy is locked in and focused, laser-like, 24-7, 365. I think he's going to be awesome. But again, veteran experience. Everyone has said, don't worry about this guy. He's got 160 tackles before the season even starts. He's going to be everyone's new favorite Patriot, not named Drake May. To me, I kind of like, I steered right down one Fitzy lane. And I went with Travion Henderson for my fifth Patriot because I don't know if there's anyone that if they get it, if they merit the touches, if they merit the looks and the targets, not to mention, as you've heard it before, I'm not sure if you heard, Chris Hogan played lacrosse. Travion Henderson is super good, or so I'm told, at pass protection as well. But if he can pass pro like we've been told, that everybody says the speed is different. Like when you see him, like whether it's kickoffs, wheel routes, screens, just handoffs, all of it. His speed is different than everybody else on offense, and he gets to it real quick. So if he has the dependable hands, never put the ball on the carpet in college. Use him in tandem with Ramondre as a 1-2 punch, or maybe it's Ramondre as the hammer, and you have Gibson and Henderson as your receiver/running back hybrids as well. Just imagine this. What if there's a package, John, where you have Henderson and Gibson both in. They could be lined up in the eye. They could both be in sort of like a wing formation as well. And are they getting a handoff? Is there a pitch? Could there be a reverse? Are they both going out on wheels or screens? Or who knows? But he, with his great pedigree, the resume, all the skills, and then some, if he doesn't look like a rookie, if things like guys like Bedard are saying out of minicamp, like, watch out, all signs point to him not just getting a rookie load in a Josh McDaniels offense, you know, because no rookie running back has gone for 1,000 yards in a Josh McDaniels offense to date. But if he is, like, he worships and studies all the James White footage, I think this kid could be an offensive superstar or look like way more than a rookie in his rookie season. That's another something that opens up what I believe will be that run-centric first offense that then, as the season progresses, gets more and more diverse, bigger and bigger in the playbook, and more dynamic.
I think Travion Henderson's going to be the guy come early December that Patriots fans, he's their favorite rookie and one of their favorite players, because what we're going to see with him is he's going to have a few plays in the first few months of the season where he takes a screen pass and runs for 40 yards, or they hand him the ball off tackle and he runs for a 25-yard touchdown. Like, he's going to have, and again, I'm not saying he's going to do that every single week, but he is going to have, I think, several plays like that, plays that, frankly, they haven't had in a long time. Like, I go back to, I think it was 2022, they played in Cleveland and Ramondre Stevenson had a 30-yard touchdown run. Like, that's the last big touchdown run. And Antonio Gibson had a 45-yard run against the Seahawks last year, though not for a touchdown. Like, they get like one or two of those plays a year. Like, I think Henderson.
I can't, but you just brought that up and I was like, he did? I mean, I think we all had such, you know, Mayo-based post-traumatic Patriots stress disorder from last year. I think we forgot the fact that, like, people like Gibson shined at moments during the season. And there are people that linger from the Mayo roster of 2024 that actually can do positive things on the field.
And I think that's going to be Henderson, right? You're going to see a few of those splash plays. Now, I do want to see, can Henderson run up the middle consistently? Like, I know he's going to be good in the passing game. He can pass protect well. I think he'll be a good runner off tackle. Just, can he do it enough running up the middle? Because Stevenson's going to be your main guy running between the tackles, I know. Mm-hmm. But think back to a guy like James White. He was primarily a passing game guy. He could run off tackle, but every now and then they could run him up the middle, and he was good enough to make defenses respect it. And if Henderson can do that, it's going to then allow all of a sudden, and look, I'm not trying to get too far ahead of ourselves, but if he can do that, he might be your starting running back by week 17 or 18. I think he can
would be amazing.
Or at least by next year. Yeah. And I think the tools are there. It's just, can he put it all together?
Sony Michel had the most yards for a Patriots rookie running back under Josh McDaniels in 2018 with 918. But that's because they pivoted and went power running during December 2018.
Stevenson had 600 in 2021. Yep. He also didn't play a few games.
Lawrence Maroney in 2006 had, I think, about 725, 730 yards as well.
That was in a platoon with Corey Dillon, too.
Yes, Corey Dillon, who looked like he ate Corey Dillon.
By the way, also had like a 40-yard run in that AFC Championship game out of nowhere. Just fun random ass.
Yeah, I love fun random football facts. That's why you're on the pod, Johnny. That's what you're here for.
Just saying.
I just think Henderson, like James White, also didn't really have any impact. James White became a legend in 2016. He only started having impact on the offense in 2015. Super quiet rookie year, 2014 as well. Ridley didn't kick it into gear until second year as well. Neither did Shane Vereen as a passing back. And then in 2014, Super Bowl 49, the other guy, not named Malcolm Butler or Tom Brady, who could have arguably been an MVP candidate with the game that he had. So great to hopefully see the third down wide receiver come back into the fray. Maybe it's Pop Douglas. Maybe it's Evan Chisholm III, living legend and future Patriots Hall of Famer. But to have multiple options for the dependable third down pass catching back, one of whom could also evolve into your primary running back and be your most dynamic runner in space on offense. Hell yeah. Please, yes, and thank you. Every day that ends in AY and twice on Sunday. Let's go. All right, so Johnny, run down your list of five once again for the good pass people in Foxborough faithful.
So players only list, Will Campbell, number one, Milton Williams, number two, Garrett Bradbury, number three, Carlton Davis, number four, and as we just discussed, Hunter Henry, number five.
Okay, and my list was Will Campbell, number one, Christian Barmore, number two, who's my third one? Oh, Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs, number three, Christian Gonzalez, number four, and of course, Travion Henderson, rookie running back out of the Ohio State University. Number five. Great job today, Johnny. Appreciate that very much. We'll see. You guys can holler at us. He's at The Real John Lyons, L-Y-O-N-S, Trey Francais. I'm at Fitzy GFY, and of course, this is at Six Rings Pod. Give us your list, if you can, of the five Patriots not named Drake May that you are most focused on and you are most excited about to see when training camp opens up just 1 month from now. Should you not swelter and melter from the heat, given that it's hotter outside right now than inside the arc of the covenant or the surface of the sun? We'll be back at least one or two more times this week with more podcasts as we fill your Patriots plate full of analysis, news, perspective, and pods you didn't know you necessarily needed, but you were glad that you had. That's why there's Six Rings. For Johnny, for myself, for everyone at 2400 Sports, Odyssey, and of course, WEEI and WEEI.com, this has been the latest and always greatest edition of Six Rings and Football Things. Thank you, everyone, also, who participated in our feedback survey as we continue to evolve, grow, and try to give you the best Pats content for the best fans possible heading into what should be a dynamic and exciting season. We'll talk to you soon. God bless. Keep cool. Use the Force. And as always, go Pats.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.